Wild Card Wednesday continues. Any song, any artist, anything, Wild Card Wednesday. Get your requests in. 312-981-7200. 708 area code requested Celia Cruz with Guantamera. So, yeah, man. Welcome back, everybody. Now, somebody just posted on my personal Facebook page a link to where we can all watch every Hallmark movie ever made. They didn't put it on your page, Dan.
No need to.
That's true. That's true. All right. Okay, I like to make people feel old every once in a while. So we've got these 25 things that turned 25 in 2017. So let's see, Esmeralda, let's see if you feel old. Okay?
Okay.
First one on the list is Wayne's World. Wayne's World turns 25. And they're talking about the movie.
Right. So those are the kind of movies where I go, what? It's how old?
25 years old. 1992 it came out. Features Mike Myers and Dana Carvey, directed by Penelope Spheeris. It was a landmark comedy that reflected and affected 90s pop culture. It single-handedly revived Queen's song Bohemian Rhapsody, introduced the world to the intellectualism of Alice Cooper, and convinced teens that public access TV was worthwhile. And I'm the only person on the planet that doesn't like it. Couple of funny things in it, but overall, not a fan. How about this, Esmeralda? The first text message ever sent is 25 years old. It was sent on December 3rd, 1992. 22-year-old engineer Neil Papworth sent the first text message over a cellular network. He used a computer connected to the Vodafone network to send the message to Vodafone director Richard Jarvis's orbital mobile phone. The message read, "Merry Christmas." Why send it 22 days before Christmas? Jarvis was at a Christmas party at the time. So there you go. The very first text message, December 3rd, and it said, "Merry Christmas." I'm assuming there were, like, no emojis attached to that.
You didn't know how yet, I'm assuming.
Yeah, even with the what is it, the semicolon and the parentheses.
Right, wasn't creative enough for that yet.
All right, how about this? 25 years old, Barney and Friends. Barney and Friends. To the immense frustration of adults and to the delight of toddlers, the purple dinosaur Barney appeared on PBS on April 6th. By the way, I don't know why I'm thinking of this. You know, yesterday when we were playing Celebrity Name Game, and you had to give me a clue so I could guess Hugh Grant.
Yeah.
And you said 9 months.
Yeah.
Isn't there a scene in 9 months where they beat the hell out of Barney?
Oh, I don't remember.
Like, they're in a store?
Sounds familiar.
They're in a store. And God, I hate that movie. And Julianne Moore is in that movie. What, did Julianne Moore lose a bet? What was she doing in that movie? Anyway, so I think I don't. Maybe somebody, if there's a big fan of 9 months out there, that fantastic comedy with Hugh Grant. Who else was in that? It was Hugh Grant, Julianne Moore. Who was the guy? The side, is it Jim Belushi?
Tom Arnold.
Oh, same thing.
And they are talking to a dinosaur. It's not Barney, but somebody like a Barney-esque character.
Oh, and I think they beat the hell out of him.
Tom Arnold's yelling at him right now. yeah, Tom Arnold and him come to fisticuffs.
See, I knew it. That's the only thing that I remember from that movie.
Hugh Grant just got hit in the nose by Barney.
Oh, that's so hilarious. Oh, boy. From the subtle direction of Chris Columbus, director of Home Alone, subtlety is his real strength. God, that movie was horrible.
I didn't mind it.
Oh, well, clearly it's the first movie you thought of with a Hugh Grant clue. You had to give me a Hugh Grant clue. You go straight to 9 months.
Yeah, I don't know what it was.
You know, he was
the
in
first
this,
thing that came
he was
to
in
mind.
This movie called Four Weddings and a Funeral. That's the kind of the movie that, you know, defined his career.
Oh.
Do you Notting not Hill.
Which one? Notting Hill. Well, Notting Hill's a good movie, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's in a lot of... He was in that movie where he was too old for Drew Barrymore and nobody seemed to notice. What was that? What the hell was the name of that movie? He was like a George Michael type guy. And Drew, he was like a has-been sort of George Michael guy. In the 80s, he was really big, very George Michael-ish.
Music and lyrics.
Yeah, that's it. And so there, it's a romantic comedy with him and Drew Barrymore, who is like 25 years his junior. Nobody seemed to... I remember going to see that movie going, wait a minute, what? She's way, way too young for him. And I don't even, if I remember correctly, I don't even think they acknowledge it in the film. That's all I could think of when I was watching the movie. I'm like, wait a minute. What's going on here? Hugh Grant's almost 50, and she's like 22. I don't know. I guess I'm the only person that was bothered by that. Yeah, music and lyrics. Well, that was a real winner. You should have said that one after 9 months, Esmeralda. You should have written music and he was in music and lyrics, where he was too damn old for Drew Barrymore.
Yeah.
Oh man.
I vaguely remember that.
Which one? Music and lyrics?
Music and lyrics, yeah.
It was mid-2000s, I want to say, like 2005, 2006, something like that. It wasn't good.
Clearly.
Yeah. I just remember the only thing that I found amusing in that movie was when they would do the flashbacks or show Hugh Grant at the height of his like popularity in the 80s, and he's dressed almost exactly like he's basically doing George Michael. He had the bat, he had the hair, the outfits, the whole thing. That was my favorite part of the movie, was whenever they flash back to the 80s, or maybe it starts in the 80s. I don't remember. I only saw the damn thing once. But so anyway, Barney, let's get back to Barney. April 6th, 1992, Barney came in. When a People magazine article called the lyrics to Barney's songs stupid, an era of Barney bashing began. Toddlers didn't care one bit, and they clamored for Barney merchandise as an actor in a 6-foot-tall Barney costume embarked on a mall tour in December. Now, here's the... Oh, you know what? I don't think I've ever asked you or told you about this, Esmeralda.
What's that?
Have you ever heard of Mr. Blobby?
No.
Dan, you've heard of Mr. Blobby, right?
I seem to recognize the name.
Okay, here's the deal. Mr. Blobby is the king of the universe. Let me explain something to you. Mr. Blobby is the king, all right? You must have just seen a picture of him because I'm looking at...
What is that?
It's Mr. Blobby. Don't ask about Mr. Blobby because he's the king of the universe. Mr. Blobby is this sort of amorphous thing with... He's pink and he's got red dots all over him, and he's a big creature, and he became this, you know what, like we were just talking about Barney, he was kind of like the Barney of Britain. He was on this guy's show, they brought him out, and he became a sensation. All he did was go, Blobby, Blobby, and then fall down and knock things over. That's all he did. He did nothing else.
His eyes are all weird.
Yeah, he's the king of the... Mr. Blobby is the king of the world. I fell in love with Mr. Blobby like in the early 90s. And every year, Roy Leonard, my mentor, my hero, the king, did a theater tour to London every year. He came back one year after I had like nonstop talked about this Mr. Blobby. Blobby, Blobby, knocking stuff over. He was on Larry King's show to be introduced to the American public. The American public did not like Mr. Blobby. He was huge in England. Did not go over well at all here. So they bring him on the Larry King show on CNN. And he's knocking mics over. He's Blobby, Blobby. And he's like, just like his eyes are googly and he's knocking chairs over. And then he's like, and like Larry King completely loses control of the interview. So he's like the guy who's the host of the show. He's trying to explain what Mr. Blobby is, and Blobby's wandering around the studio knocking cameras over. Blobby, Blobby, and falling and rolling around on the floor. Then he came up and was like, started messing up Larry King's hair and started slapping his suspenders. They go to break, they come back, Blobby gone. No more Mr. Ploppy on Larry King's show.
This looks like something that would want to murder you in the forest.
I'm
like it just shows
you,
up out of nowhere.
Really quickly, when Roy came back from a trip in the early 90s, he brought me a Mr. Blobby sweatshirt, which I still own, and a little Mr. Blobby bank, which is on my end table. I'm going to wear the Blobby sweatshirt tomorrow. I'm wearing the Mr. Blobby sweatshirt tomorrow.
Yeah,
Mr. Blobby is the king. All right, we have to break. News is up next. Yeah, man. Good morning, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here. I'm your overnight dude. 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. every weekday morning. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5. And Steve Cochran back at 6. We are live in the Allstate studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower, overlooking beautiful Michigan Avenue. And it is Wild Card Wednesday. Any song, any artist, anything, 312-981-7200. 630 area code requested. Sticks! Yeah, man, Sticks! Too much time on my hands. Yeah! Sticks. They suck. All right. So we're talking about 25 things that turned 25 in this year. I don't know I wonder how old Mr. Blobby is. I found out about Mr. Blobby in the early 90s.
He seems timeless.
Oh, well, yes.
From another dimension.
First appearance November 21st, 1992.
Oh, he's as old as Barney. Mr. Blobby turns 25 this year. Oh man. See, because Roy had to brought back the Mr. Blobby bank and the Mr. Blobby sweatshirt because there was no Mr. Blobby apparel and items available here in America because he went over like a lead balloon. Nobody liked Mr. Blobby. No, he said, Blobby, Blobby. That's all he did. He just said Blobby and he knocked stuff over and he threw things. He was a big pink weirdo. But he had like a Blobby. They had a Blobby song that, not unlike the Barney song, I think was a big hit in England. There was like a Mr. Blobby song.
If you go on eBay,
yeah,
you can get a Mr. Blobby costume.
A full Mr. Blobby costume?
Yeah.
I think I have to have that. And not just wear it on Halloween, wear it every day.
You're the new Mr. Blobby.
I will make Mr. Blobby popular in this country. And Saga will come back. And Flicker Stick. Mr. Blobby, by the way, Mr. Blobby will be the MC of that comeback tour. With Flicker Stick. Who else was on the blue?
He might not need to be the MC. I'm according to Wikipedia, he had a number one hit in the UK.
That's what I'm saying. They had a Blobby. Can you find the music? Now, if you, that's it. That's him. That's all he does. Blobby, Blobby.
For $10 on some website, you can get a pack of Mr. Blobby masks. And they look very frightening.
Wait, you can get a pack of Mr. Blobby masks? Like a rubber mask you put over your head and you look like Mr. Blobby? What?
I think it's like the hard plastic
with
stuff,
the rubber, with the,
but
with
I think
the,
it goes
with the
pretty,
rubber band? The rubber band? Like, oh, man.
It's pretty large, though. Like, oh. I think it goes a little bit past your neck.
Oh, man. Well, the Mr. Blobby bank and the Mr. Blobby sweatshirt that I have came directly from England. Roy brought him back for me. He goes, here you go, idiot. Because I told him, I was like, hey, I love Mr. Blobby. Can you get some Mr. Blobby stuff for me? And Roy, you are an idiot. He gave me the Mr. Blobby bank and the Mr. Blobby sweatshirt, which you guys will see tomorrow. I will wear my Mr. Blight. Probably doesn't fit because I'm a fat bastard now, but I'll wear it. I'm seriously, I mean, my gut will be hanging out of the bottom of it because I got it like in the mid-90s. So it's like 20 years old and I'm a fat bastard now. So I don't know if it's going to fit, but I'll wear it. Just so you guys can experience Blobby.
Like Esmeralda hasn't had enough this week.
It's motivation.
You know, it's getting to the point where you're going to deprive your body of all of these things and suddenly you're going to start seeing Mr. Blobby everywhere. Like, he's gonna, you haven't had sugar for a week. Suddenly, Mr. Blobby's going to pop up in your face every once in a while. Blobby! And it'll knock stuff over. I don't know if that footage of the Larry King interview is available, but I'm telling you, he starts pulling on Larry King's suspenders and slapping them and knocking stuff off, spilling coffee and stuff on the legs.
I did see a video on YouTube. It wasn't that, but he looks real annoying.
Oh, he is. Oh, yeah, yeah. No, all he
like,
does
that's
is
all
like,
he does is
yeah. He just blobbery and then he knocks people over.
Right.
And he's I think it's the greatest character in the history of anything. It's just Mr. Blobby. All right. 25 things that are 25. You ready for this? Mall of America. Have you ever been? Yeah, either of you guys ever been to the Mall of America?
No.
I have not.
You've not? Okay. Opened on August 11th, 1992. It eventually included over 400 stores, 14 movie theaters, 7 restaurants, 5 nightclubs, and 31,000 live trees and shrubs. What they fail to mention here is that there's a damn amusement park in the middle of it. It's like a damn Snoopy amusement park. There's a roller coaster in the middle of this place. Now, you got to understand, Esmeralda, I'm not good in malls. I'm not a shopper guy. You know, if I'm not, I don't shop. If I'm going to buy something, I know what I'm going to buy. I get the hell in and I get the hell out immediately. Never hung out at malls. Just never felt comfortable. My first ex-wife and I, her brother lived in Minnesota, so we went up to visit him. And he's like, oh, you got to go to the Mall of America. You got to experience the Mall of America. We go. I start freaking out. I'm in there, and I'm like, I don't know what. And at the time, I was a smoker, and you couldn't smoke anywhere in the damn mall. The mall was like 7 million, you know, square miles. And you couldn't. The only place we could smoke was Planet Hollywood. So we go to the Mall of America, and I'm freaking out because I'm like, this place is just, it's too overwhelming for me. I can't stand malls in the first place. This thing is like a behemoth. There's a damn roller coaster with Snoopy rolling around, you know, in the middle of this place. I got to get the hell out of here. I can't deal. So my ex-wife is like, hey, let's go see a movie. I said, yes, please. 2 hours. Let me just get into this place. We'll go see a movie. They got a theater in here with 97 theaters. We'll go see a movie. So, Dan, I've ever told you what movie I saw at the Mall of America?
I've heard this story. I don't remember the movie.
7. I saw 7 at the Mall of America. So think about that. I'm freaked out. I can't smoke. I'm in a mall. I'm not in my mind. I go see 7. We get out of the movie. Immediately, I'm like, I have to have a cigarette. So we hung out at the Mall of America Planet Hollywood after seeing 7.
See some cool memorabilia?
Yeah. Yeah. It was fantastic. I don't think we left the bar. We didn't have like dinner or anything. We went straight to the bar and we got like a Goldfinger, whatever the drink that is. We got a Terminator. I don't know. I had a big glass of Die Hard. I don't know what the hell. So it was the only place we smoked. So we chain smoked and drank and then said, all right, you want to buy anything here? And she's like, I think I want to buy some stuff. And I'm like, oh, all right. And I lasted 15 more minutes and I'm like, I got to get the hell out. I can't be in here. The place is terrifying. The only thing that would have made it better was if it was a Blobby amusement park. And if it was a Mr. Blobby amusement park, I'd have stayed all day. Yeah. Oh, by the way, the comedy club in the Mall of America, because it was closed because we were there during the day. The comedy club in the Mall of America, which you have to pass to get to the Planet Hollywood, is called Knuckleheads. Yeah. If I'm not mistaken, both Patty and Cochran have played knuckleheads. If I'm not mistaken, I think Patty has some stories about playing knuckleheads in the Mall of America. So the Mall of America is 25 years old, everybody, and it's the most terrifying place on the planet. All right, more things that turn 25 this year coming up. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Get your wild card Wednesday stuff in, too. All right. Hi, it's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower, and we're here till 5 a.m. And we're talking about 25 things that turn 25. I'm going to skip around on some of these. These things are designed to make you feel old. Here are some bands. Are you ready for this, Esmeralda? Here's some bands that turn 25. It's 1992 was an incredible year for alternative and hip-hop bands. Here's a partial list of the bands that formed in that year. Okay? Ready, Esmeralda?
Okay.
Weezer.
Oh, wow. 25 years.
Isn't that crazy?
Yikes.
Wu-Tang Clan.
Oh.
How about that?
Huh.
Blink 182. Built to Spill, one of my favorite bands of all time that no one knows. Either of you guys know Built to Spill?
I know of them.
Same here.
God, they're good. They're so good. One of my favorite concerts ever was when my ex-wife and I went to Ireland. And it was our last night in Dublin. And we saw Built to Spill open for Dinosaur Jr. Oh, my God. Bush, 25 years old. Collective Soul. We have a listener who names himself after Collective Soul, don't we, Dan?
Collective Soul Bill.
Collective Soul Bill. Oh, whatever happened to these guys? Diggable Planets. Whatever happened to Diggable Planets? I love those guys.
I think they played Pitchfork.
Did they really?
A year or two ago.
Wow. I love those guys. Diggable Planets. Hey, by the way, Esmeralda. On the channel that you're jealous, you're so jealous that I have and you don't, the MTV yeah. Classic channel. They were showing some old, what the hell, Spring Break stuff.
And
they showed some early Spring Break Tribe Called Quest.
Oh, I probably watched that before.
And I'm sure you did, and it was awesome. Busta Rhymes out there, knocking stuff over, jumping around. Elastica. 25 years old. The Dog Pound is 25 years old.
Like Snoop's Dog
yeah.
Pound?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hanson. Are you serious? There's no way that Mbop came out in 1992. It had to have come out later than that, right? It had to be like 95 or 96.
Yeah, but they could have been
together. They could have been together. Yeah, right. They could have formed, but... Like, Mbop was not that. Mbop was like 95, 96, something like that.
Yeah,
the album was 1997.
Okay, 97. All right. Jamiroquai, 25 years old. Less Than Jake. The hell is Less Than Jake?
It's like a punk.
Ska, yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I don't know who they are. Yeah, man, 7 Mary 3. Yeah!
Man, I might have to steal a Wildcard Wednesday request for some cumbersome. Yeah!
7 Mary 3. Yeah, man! Silverchair! And they were 12.
Oh, gosh. I have a few friends who loved Silverchair.
I got their whatever, the album with the hit. I can't even remember. I loved them when they came out. And they were like, Joe, these guys, these kids are good. These kids can jam. They were like 8. Weren't they like the median age was 11 on that band or something like that? It was ridiculous. So Silverchair. Oh, one of my favorite bands ever. Soul Coughing, 25 years old. With my good buddy Mike Doty, who's been on the show. Mike Doty, lead singer of Soul Coughing. Amazing guy. I'm friends with him on Facebook, and we actually communicate. It's not like he does actually. We write back and forth. I love that guy. I love Mike Doty is so amazingly. By the way, if he wrote an autobiography called the Book of Drugs, and it was about his time with Soul Coughing, which was not a good time for him at all, and then his dealing with addiction. It's a really inspiring book. It really, seriously, it is an incredibly inspiring book. And there you go. So Wu-Tang Clan, Weezer, all those guys, 25 years old. Been around for 25 years. So how old are the dudes in Hanson then? I mean, was the drummer a zygote? What in 1992? I mean, what? Because he was like in 97 when they released that Bop. The kid on drums was like 5, wasn't he, or something? Isn't he like 11?
I would say, I mean, I think the two older guys, they were older than me at the time, I want to say.
All right. Who wants to do the math here?
I can't. I'm not going to be able to, but.
All right. So, oldest brother, Hanson, Clark Isaac Hanson, was born in 1980. So
he's a year older than you. He's 36.
He's 36.
Okay.
Right, so in 1992, he would have been... All right, actually, is this the baby of the group then? Because he would have been 12.
The little...
That dude? The little dude?
The little... Yeah, the drummer is the youngest.
Yeah, the drummer's the youngest.
Okay, drummer's youngest. He was born in 1985.
So when they formed in 1992, that would have made him 8. He would have been 8 years old. Is that right? Or
7, 8.
Seven, eight.
It
would have been 7. I don't even know what to say. Okay. You know what else is 25 years old? You guys like it. I can't stand it. Think it's a blight. Guns N' Roses' epic November Rain turns 25 this year.
Oh, that masterpiece?
Oh, my God.
Read the last sentence. It's my favorite part.
The video is famously complex, so much so that in 2014, Slash admitted that he had no idea what it meant. He commented in part, "I knew there was a wedding in there somewhere, and I was not into the concept of the wedding." So Slash didn't even know what the hell was going on. Oh, man. All right. Oh, the Bodyguard and the soundtrack. 25 years old this year. Yeah. You know what'll be hilarious, Esmeralda, is if we play pop-up video tomorrow and you have to sing that damn song and you have to hit that note and hold it for 4 hours.
Well, one, you know I'm not going to hit the note.
That's up to Dave and his feline army.
It's going to be real off.
Oh, man. And you have to hold it for as long as Whitney holds it.
I mean, that I can do. It's just not going to be pretty, though. It's going to, crack some eardrums.
25 years old, that damn song was everywhere. That was late in the year. That was in November of 1992. So it doesn't turn 25 till the end of the year. It's on. But, God, what's going on, Dan? You all right?
Just in from Sean from Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Hanson has their own brewing company now. One of their beers is hops.
Oh, come on.
Good for them.
Hey, I'll tell you something, man. I'm not being ironic. I like Hanson. I don't care.
You liked the Bop?
I love Bop. I don't care. I'm not trying to be ironic or hip or, oh, look, I'm cool because I'm being ironic. And I think Bop's a great song.
Do they have other songs?
Sure, they had millions of hits. Well, that was their biggest hit. They had a few. They charted a few times. But obviously, Bop was their biggest hit. I bought the damn album when it came out. Little bastards. I like them. I like Hanson. I don't care. All right. All right, we're going to break. We'll come back, and we've got more things that turn 25. If you feel old and you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. More things that turn 25 this year. coming up after the news. He doesn't say you got a bad brain. He doesn't say you got a bad brain. Wildcard Wednesday continues with the great Tom Waits. 779 area code request. Tom Waits, as bad as me. He's the king. It's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich at 5 with the opening bell. Steve Cochran with your morning drive starting at 6. We're talking about things that turned 25 years old in 2017. And also we're going to close the show with Tom Hardy reading us a bedtime story.
I saw the video. I couldn't hear it, but he has a dog on his lap.
Yes, he does.
A top hat.
Yep.
Oh. Gosh,
he's so dreamy.
It's that. Oh, I can't stand it.
Oh man, hey, there's a reason why I've seen Mad Max 64 times.
Uh-huh.
Well, he's one of the many reasons.
Okay.
Yeah. Dan is calling in. Hello, Dan.
Hey, Nick.
Hey.
I had to laugh. I was talking. So, first of all, I can't believe how close. I'm 54. I know you're 51, and we have such different taste in music. It totally got me when you said you love Metallica, and so everything was okay. But I was just talking to Dan when you were talking about that Whitney Houston song. I was watching a show over the weekend. I had no idea that Dolly Parton wrote that song.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and Dolly Parton's version, in my opinion, better.
She says she loves to hear Whitney, and the money just keeps rolling.
Well, that's the thing. Dolly Parton never had to record another song in her life after that thing came out. Yeah, I mean, her version is different, you know, obviously. But she wrote that song. Yeah.
It didn't really seem like a song that Dolly would write, but it turned into being a moneymaker.
Yeah.
Like you said, she could have retired right then and there.
Absolutely, yeah. She did well on that one. All right, Dan, have a good one.
You do the same, bud.
Take care, buddy. Yeah, that's, you ever hear the Dolly Parton version?
I think I have.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. I mean, Whitney Houston, the arrangement is different, and obviously
it was
the reason why that song was taken for her was so that it could showcase her unbelievable voice.
Yeah.
So you'll hit that note if we have to do it at some point.
I'll hit a note. I don't know if it's going to be that one.
Hey, you know the Cartoon Network turns 25 this year?
Oh, wow.
25. The Cartoon Network, on October 1st, the first 24-hour channel dedicated to cartoons debuted, courtesy of Turner Broadcasting. The channel was based in part on TBS's purchase of Hanna-Barbera and its back catalog, which contained roughly 1,500 hours of animated content spread across 350 TV series and movies. Hanna-Barbera. Let's see. Dr. Dre's The Chronic.
Oh, did that come out? Nice.
Yeah. And for me, the nail in the coffin of hip-hop, as far as I'm concerned.
All right.
Yeah. That's when I was like, I'm done. Because everything started sounding exactly the same after that. So, Dr. Dre, December 15th. But The Chronic, it took a while for that to take off. You know, I think it was like around 94 when it really, you know. But it came out at the end of 92. And Snoop Dogg got his career started on that album. And then everything else from that point on sounded exactly the same, except for a few hip-hop artists. Damn it. Euro Disney, 25 years old. You ever been to Euro Disney?
No. When did it die? Or is it still there?
No, it did. In 2015. No. It's still around.
Oh. Huh. Yeah, where is it?
It's in Paris. And I thought it closed. It says here, on April 12th, Euro Disney opened in Paris. French citizens weren't too enthused, seeing it as an invasion of American commercialism. Disney CEO Michael Eisner was hit with eggs and was presented with a Mickey Go Home protest sign when he appeared at the Paris Stock Exchange. Classy move there, Paris. Yeah.
Although I remember, you know, whenever you hear about it, it's very lame.
It says here, Americans weren't particularly keen either. Already have they have world-class Disney parks at home. Visitors couldn't even drink wine in the park when it first opened. French commentators called it cultural Chernobyl. Jeez.
All right.
Wow. The park was eventually renamed Disneyland Paris and became the most visited tourist attraction in Europe. 2015 attracted more visitors of the Louvre and the Eiffel Tower combined.
That's kind of sad.
That's very sad. Unfortunately, the visitor traffic has not led to profit, and the park has faced financial troubles over the decades. So I guess it was close to closing all the times that it's been around.
Okay.
But it's still around. They're complaining because you can't drink wine in the place?
You're in Paris. Isn't that what people go there? They're given a bottle as they walk out.
As you walk in off the airplane, you go through customs and they give you a bottle of wine.
Give you a camel pack filled with wine.
Camel pack. Used to see those when I went to the concerts in the 70s.
Yeah.
Oh, Esmeralda, everybody had them.
Gosh.
Just weed and camel packs full of wine. That's the 70s right there. All right. Super Mario Kart. 25 years old. How is that 20? Dan, how the hell is that 25 years old?
I don't know. That was the biggest thing in my college dorm room. Like, literally, we had tournaments every night for months.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
How'd you do?
Not as good as others.
That is still hugely popular, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Like, absolutely. I mean, massively popular.
Right.
All right. How about the nicotine patch? Wow. You'd think the nicotine patch was older, right? Wouldn't you? Than 25 years? Why would I think that would be like a... Well, no, not in the 70s.
Thinking the gum?
Maybe the gum,
the
yeah.
Gum maybe
the
older.
Gum. But yeah, I was going to say, maybe it dates back to the 70s. No, because in the 70s, every person on the planet smoked.
Right. They're like, nicotine patch, what for?
What the hell's a nicotine patch? I'm on pack number 8. Blah, 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 blah. That's what it sounds like when people smoke, by the way.
Oh. Is that what it's like when Mr. Blobby smokes?
Blah, 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 blah. By the way, I saw that you sent me the...
Isn't that music video frightening?
Music is fantastic. Music, I've seen it a million times. Oh. I've seen that a million times. He's the king. But I like the masks. I think
they
might
go all the way down.
They're
too,
fantastic. Blobby rules.
They should make a horror movie with those masks.
But that's the thing about Blobby is that, like, it's just so damn weird and off-putting, which is why it didn't take off in this country. People
right.
were like, what is this?
The British love that weird.
They love that weird, crazy
is.
Stuff, man. Where did I first see Mr. Blobby? Might have been the Larry King thing. I think it might have been the Larry King thing. And
first
I was like,
set your eyes on
I
it.
Said, what the hell is this thing? This is the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life. And there was no internet at the time.
Right.
And so I couldn't, like, watch videos of Mr. Blobby doing the genius work that Mr. Blobby does.
So did you go to your local library?
I did. I was like, I got to find out about this dude. Then, like, I asked Roy. I said, Roy, you go to London all the time. Who's Mr. Blobby? And he's like, I don't really know. Then we did some research. Roy looked him up. And he's like, yeah, he's this big children's icon. Kids love him. And he had, like, a top record. He's like the Barney of Britain.
Mm-hmm.
Then I became obsessed.
Right.
Can't wait to show you my sweatshirt tomorrow. My Mr. Blobby sweatshirt.
I'm more dreading the whole, you said that it doesn't fit.
Oh,
your
I'm a fat bastard now. It's not going to fit.
Oh, no.
I'm telling you right now. I'm going to look like Philip Seymour Hoffman in Boogie Nights.
I mean, good thing you only come out at night, so.
Maybe I won't wear it and I'll just bring it.
I mean, you can wear it.
No, I mean, I'll try it on. And if it's like, if it's like Philip Seymour Hoffman in Boogie Nights, I'm not going to wear it. And there's a strong possibility I'll look like Philip Seymour Hoffman from Boogie Nights.
It's a sweatshirt?
It's a sweatshirt, yes.
So it'll be stretchy.
It is stretchy. And trust me, it's stretched. I've had it since 1994, 1995, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
All right. On April 13th, ballots appeared at post office in 1992 around the U.S. that allowed you to vote for two proposed designs for the Elvis Presley stamp. The key question, should we show young Elvis or mature Elvis? The vote ended on April 24th, and then there was a frenzy to acquire the ballots and make votes. The vote was a matter of public debate with designs created by artists Mark Stutzman and John Berkey. Those were the finalists after 8 artists submitted 60 sketches. More than 1.2 million ballots were cast. Roughly 75% of them selected the young Elvis. The stamp was released on January 8th, 1993, what would have been Elvis's 58th birthday. I voted.
Which one did you vote for?
Mature Elvis.
What was it? Was it just him in the?
It was with the
the suit.
Mm-hmm. And young Elvis won. I liked mature Elvis. And I have a T-shirt of both of them, both stamped side by side. I bought it in Graceland.
Can you wear that underneath the blobby shirt?
No, that one I can't wear.
You know what I imagine? That Mr. Blobby's going to – remember on The Simpsons when Marge was – it was – oh, Homer got a shirt, a T-shirt made with Marge's face on
it. Oh, right.
And, but it was all outstretched. Right.
Stretched
like,
out,
weird.
Right. That's what it's going to look like. Yeah, all right. Something to look forward to.
Sure. Yeah?
Yeah, something to look forward to. And then finally, turning 25 this year, John Boyega and Daisy Ridley from The Force Awakens both turned 25 this year.
Only 25?
Yeah, they're kids, man. Ugh. Miley Cyrus, 25 this year. Nick Jonas. Taylor Lautner.
Yeah, those I believe.
Kate Upton. God, she's only 24 now? She won't be 25
Wait,
till June.
That, really?
She won't be 25. She won't be 25 till June.
She does not look 25.
No way.
She looks older, which is not a good sign.
Selena Gomez will be 25. Demi Lovato will be 25. And there you go.
It's all Disney kids.
Yeah, all the Disney kids are turning 25 this year. So, and they all grew up watching the Cartoon Network, which also turns 25 this year. But they missed out on Mr. Blobby.
What's wrong with you, America?
I feel bad for all the American kids of the 90s who didn't grow up watching Mr. Blobby. They missed it. You can watch Mr. Blobby on YouTube.
Then there'd be reboots.
Yeah. They should do a big, Michael Bay should produce a big $150 million budgeted Mr. Blobby movie.
It'd be him just falling on things and explosions.
But is he the hero or a villain?
No, he's the hero. Are you kidding? But it can't be a CGI Blobby. It's got to be the foam
costume.
The foam costume that the idiot wore. And Larry King has to make a cameo.
It could be the story of Mr. Blobby.
Yeah,
his life story.
The life story of Mr. Blobby. Yeah. I guarantee you, opening weekend $400 million.
Sure.
All right, we got a break. When we come back, we got this story about Tom Hardy on the internet telling you a bedtime story, and we'll hear some of that.